We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from the mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
So that, like...
Hello world, this is Slick Zero, your host. With me today for episode 3B of BaseNet Radio is Morbid.
Booyah.
Sitting right across from me, as well as over Skype, as you all can probably guess, DMAD.
Hello, yes.
Which is probably not what you were guessing, since he hasn't been around the past few shows.
I know, yeah.
So what were you doing? You were moving or something, right? I don't know.
Something like that, maybe. And working and being sick. That was fun.
Oh, that's right. You were sick for a while. And that was
last week. You had the plague,
It was the plague, yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely the plague. Oh, dude, listen, I must notice, look.
Yes.
The intro was a tad longer than usual.
It was?
Really?
Yes, it was.
How? It's a set length, then it drops down at the part when I start talking.
You sure?
I'm positive. It's the same file I've been using for about the past, 3B episodes. Well, maybe not the same exact one, but yeah. I use that file and it automatically drops out for me, so I don't have to do the leveling.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, you thought you were going to come up with something different.
Well, I mean, since you bring it up, though, I do plan on redoing the intro, kind of making it a little more live-sounding. Like,
okay.
Real drums, real bass, real everything.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, like, the synthy, like bleeping in the background and stuff.
Uh-huh. And Kilrathi in the background live?
Oh, no. we may have him using an actual studio mic instead of the cheap, even though that came out well.
That does not sound bad at all.
No, it doesn't sound bad. Oh, well, as we've had a nice example of right now, this is ADD Radio.
Greetings.
Any reproduction or retransmission of this material is encouraged.
Strictly forbidden.
What?
I don't care what you niggas say.
What?
Did I use the N-word?
What?
Oh.
I mean, did I use the F-word?
No, jeez.
Sorry.
Now we have to beat you.
what a CCNA over there. Anyway.
We have to beat him now. It's nothing we can do about it.
Of course, it's encouraged, and that is why this MP3 is available for download at our website, currently down, basenetradio.net.
Currently down
at the moment.
Question.
Which we will actually go over.
No, not that. What's with this music? It sounds like you're trying to lull us to sleep.
It's to make up for, like, the ADD and keeping them awake listening for something that's actually informative. Anyway... We'll mention that whole site thing in just one moment. That would be the email section of BaseNet Radio. In this section, we will be attempting to read email and comments we received over the course of the previous, 2 weeks in this case. If you have something to contribute, ideas, flames, news stories, or just want a shameless promotion... shoot off an email to basenet@basenetradio.net, currently down. And the first email is not able to get we don't have access to right now.
Hooray!
We have a comment from Hacker Media, though, which is kind of along the lines of the email that we got. It's, is it just me, or is the link on the RSS down?
Depends on the day.
Well, yeah, it depended on the day, because for some reason our server was like, our hosting company was like, I don't know what they were doing, but or what they were smoking or what, but yeah, the site was like 50-50% chance you had accessing it over the course of the last like 3 or 4 weeks. So we are finding a new host, and within the next couple of days should be good. But for now, for this next RSS thing on Hacker Media, it's going to be pretty much coming off of SlickZero.net for now. And you could get all the archives and the latest episodes at SlickZero.net, basenet.html, whatever. So that's one of the things we're working on getting that thing up and running successfully, and it should be. And we also have other things planned for the future. Once me and a few others get a little more time. First of all, as some of the emails have been recently, we're going to try to do these links, maybe starting this week or whenever we get the site up. May even change the site a little bit. Probably not, because I'm a lazy motherfucker.
At least you're honest.
Yeah.
Truth comes out.
I think everybody already knew that.
The truth comes out once again.
But I want to try to do, I'm going to be moving soon, hopefully. And once I get a place closer to my job, I will have more time. And that
to
would
not do anything.
That would to do stuff for the scene. You know, like maybe do actual video casts. That would be interesting. And I'm gonna also be. I plan on this already. Submitting a video to the new Hack TV Underground, which is kind of interesting. Few other things, like volunteering for Hope, which you should definitely check out. I believe the Hope conference coming up July. I forget the exact weekend, but you can check it out at hope.net. Should be a lot of interesting stuff there. Trust me on that. There's new things coming in day by day. Keep checking out that site. Also, I'll be going to Nauticon. I hope. D-Matt, am I going to Nauticon?
Fuck you, man. That's all I gotta say, man.
Morbid
might even go. I think Morbid's getting involved in the scene a little bit more, too, now.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Morbid?
Yo.
You poor, poor thing.
Huh?
Hey, I'm really enjoying that big wrench CD you gave me.
Did you ever give him the CD?
The what CD?
Big and Rich.
Oh, did I? Yeah, I gave that to you.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what happened?
I remember D-Matt asking for that CD, but I never remembered you getting it to him. I guess you must have.
I completely forgot about it. You like it?
Yeah, I do,
I need their new one. I haven't gotten it.
What's the newest one they have?
I don't remember. It's the one that isn't a horse of a different color.
Is another one you gave me?
No, I didn't give you one. If I don't have it yet, then how could I have given it to you?
Strange.
Anyway,
very
does it...
strange.
Since I got off my whole, housekeeping thing on what I'll be doing in the future, anybody else have any housekeeping or announcements?
Nothing show-related.
Housekeeping announcements?
Housekeeping and or announcements?
Nothing show-related.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. So shall we move on to the next section?
We shall.
All right, ADD, here we come. That begins the news section of BaseNet Radio. In this section, we will be discussing news from this past week in the tech and computer industries, as well as any other news we find relevant to the general idea of hacking. We try to vary our sources, so you may hear something on the show that you may not have heard elsewhere. Also, if you would like to be a BaseNet correspondent, simply send us an email with an audio attachment of yourself doing a report on something of your interest. It can be anything from reading and commenting on tech news to reporting on an interesting hack. And our first little piece of news is about bloggers.
Gotta love them bloggers.
Well, it appears the Federal Election Commission does, because they decided Monday that the National's new campaign finance law will not apply to most political activity on the internet. In a 6-0 vote, the commission decided to regulate only paid political ads placed on another person's website, such as something through Google Ads or something like that. The decision means that bloggers and online publications will not be covered by provisions of the new election law. Internet bloggers and individuals will therefore be able to use the internet to attack or support federal candidates without running aloof of campaign spending and contribution limits. That's very good, because recently the whole, like, political bloggers have been, like, worried. It's actually been, they've actually been thinking that they were going to be violating, like, you know how they have those laws on for, like, TV ads.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have, like, one candidate on for, like, or you can only have 9 seconds mentioning them, or 9 seconds to the other guy without going over, like, a certain limit. It's, like, something weird and stupid like that. To have, like, a fair amount of each side.
For all you who don't know, this came about because of the whole fact that certain people don't have as much money as others. Simple as that. And they deemed it unfair. I just messed up something. Unfair to the candidates who are without the funds to
gain political interest.
Yeah, I messed up something again. Yes. I learned this in class. And also, this is a huge thing, because if you hadn't been noticing, the politicians definitely have, that the internet and blogging is an extremely powerful new way for politics, like, for actual campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
That, I know, even though he didn't win, Dean, most of Dean's funds and campaigning was towards internet.
Okay. Which is interesting. And
blogging,
in my opinion,
and all that.
He did very interesting, and probably had a better chance than Kerry ever had at actually winning. However, you could tell the immediate difference between the new form of media, which is like bloggers and whatnot, and the mainstream media. What did mainstream media focus on about Dean?
The one bad press he had that one time.
Which was pretty much him screaming.
Yes, yeah, the bad press.
He's like, damn, I lost something. Arr! And, like, and everybody and their mom focused on that.
And supposedly, if you actually watched the conference and all that jazz, that was such a minor and trivial aspect of such very minor that it was complete bullshit. It took like 5 seconds of the actual campaign, and it just played it over and over. Camera angles, all that. All the tricks of the trade, and they made him into some psycho guy who shouldn't run for you.
Anyway, yeah. We're getting a little ADD.
No, I think we're right on the money.
Okay.
Really?
The money,
If D-Money says it's okay, it must be.
Well, thank you.
That's right. Hey, I thought you said that you were going to be the quiet one this episode. You weren't going to say a word.
Oh, fine. Fuck you, man.
No, I'm just letting you know. You actually spoke up. Amazing.
I kind of did. I kind of had to. You're talking about Dean. he kind of went crazy there for a second. Well, not really. He was just really excited. Just the press kind of spun it the wrong way.
You know, the press...
really
the,
sad.
The press doesn't accept any human emotion. I think that's what it is. Something like that.
Honestly... I don't think it's even that. I think the press, or, you know, most of... Or
mainstream
some, or
media.
Yeah, the mainstream, I guess. Well, not all of it, even. Just, you know, most of it. Is siding with a specific candidate, right?
Specific preset ideas of what they're supposed to act and behave and all that jazz?
No.
That?
I think that we're actually favoring somebody in particular in this case. You know what I mean?
Well,
I wonder who it could be.
I wouldn't know. But they were not favoring Dean.
Right.
Because, maybe you're right. Maybe because he showed human emotion. And that's really looked down upon in the real world.
the quote-unquote real world.
You know, as the Matrix goes, you know, what the real world is. So, I mean, seriously... It was a real tragedy. How did it start off?
Politics.
Yeah.
Well, the bloggers thing.
Yes.
Oh, yes, of course. And I'm going to keep quiet now. I have work to do.
So stop lying
talking,
to us.
Carry on.
Stop lying to us.
I'm hard at work.
Uh-huh.
God damn it. Hey, that's not funny. It's a little weird, but it's not funny.
I laughed.
Anyway.
I get my mobile pro. That's it.
Oh, news?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, man. I was making our flag.
All right.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a BaseNet flag soon. That's going to be funny.
Yay, pirates. Okay. That's the next thing I will talk about.
And that concludes Dima's words of wisdom section.
He bounced.
Yeah.
He didn't just, like, shut up. He bounced. All right. I don't know if anyone else has heard this, but I found out today while looking for news was that Dell is planning on... They're not planning. They are buying Alienware.
Huh.
As BBC News puts it, Dell launches the Alienware invasion.
Oh, there goes Alienware.
Yes. Sad, sad day. Granted, they were overpriced. I always wanted one.
Actually, if Dell buys them, they'll still be able to make profit and not be and it may not be overpriced. So you never know.
The quality could be... cool.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Texas-based Dell said. Oh wait, was he there?
Yeah, he
sorry,
was.
I'm just sighing at the news.
Okay, said Alienware would. It said Alienware would operate as a standalone division, keeping its brand name.
Okay,
so that's good. That's good. Alienware, based in Miami, which was founded in '96. By these two friends, will continue to run the owners, the founders of Alienware will continue to run the company.
Okay.
But they, I guess the Dell just owns them, so they're gonna break in the dough from this.
Probably.
Yeah, the deal gives Dell a leg up in the lucrative computer gaming market. But Dell, they didn't disclose the financial terms of the deal. It's expected to have a turnover of $225 million this year. The huge growth potential is attracting big firms into video game. Dell's revamped its they had their XPS line, which they came out with, and I guess they realized that just by giving it a fancy look, actual, like, real gamers aren't going to be tricked into believing that it works. So they might as well just pick what people buy. Buy what people buy.
Yeah.
He is still there.
Yeah, he is still there. I thought.
I know. I'm sorry, man. I keep disappointing you guys. I'm supposed to leave. See, to those faithful listeners, it's not that I don't talk on the show. It's that these two really don't want me to talk.
What?
They hate my guts.
No.
And that's the damn truth.
What?
I'm thinking.
That's that bullshit right there.
For real? No.
Come on. No? We like you, even though we cast you away and make you come in through Skype because you try to cut us all the time when you're here. But I mean,
that's my nature, man. Why must you hate me, son? Can't hate. You know, the knife is my thing. You know, like Slade's got the hat. You know, that's cool. But I wanted the hat, but it was already taken by Slade. You know, I can't steal his thing because he's gonna cut me. But now it's my thing, so he can't cut me. But he wears the hat. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Keep going.
Otherwise, you cut him so bad, he'd say, "Hey, I wish you wouldn't cut me so bad."
That's right. That's right, son. Because I said it better myself. Sorry, I'm taking up most of your time. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm just going to get to work. I just had all this anger and rage towards...
Release.
It's okay.
Really?
It's okay.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
Can you give me a there, fella?
You want a hug?
Just give me a there, fella, and maybe a little tussle on the hair. We'll be good. I'll be all right.
There, buddy.
Aww.
Fella.
Failer. That's okay there, fella.
You want a cookie? Sorry.
I want a muffin.
No, he wants chips.
He wants chips and
yes.
How about chips and dip?
I don't like no dip. I like my chips. And I like my women. Dried and skinny. No. That didn't come out right at all.
And very easy to snap into two.
Hey, that was easy. Why didn't I pick that up? Sorry, I just made that up. That's terrible. That is absolutely terrible. All the women out there, all one of you, are still listening to us? I'm really sorry. I hope you're not Christian.
He's not sorry.
You're right. I'm really not sorry. I'm a sexist pig. I am a sexist pig who likes to eat chips and women.
Eat chips okay. and women?
Okay, man. I'm plugging off. I can't talk right now. Carry on with the news, please, because this is getting really stupid. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. You'll be back.
Yeah, probably.
He'll be back.
That was...
That was fun.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What's up?
No, I'm just liking... I'm liking how the flag's going. I'll have to send it to you. And you'll have to do some editing to make it actually look nice, but... Because you're the Nazi. Production Nazi. Okay. Next news list we'll talk about. Well, I don't know if all of you know, but Slick got a brand spanky new machine, which is all types of badass.
Oh, man.
Like, in many, many ways. But it's getting pwned real soon. Like, it's obsoleted, like...
What? My AMD 64X 2400 is becoming obsolete already?
With, 2250 SATA, RAID drives and, all that.
2 gigs RAM, you know.
2 gigs RAM, all that. Yeah, well, Azul Systems, Inc.
Okay.
Which no one knows.
Yeah, who's Azul?
Yeah, I don't know. supposedly they're a computer industry's one-hit wonder. But they don't want to be.
Oh, okay.
They don't want to be.
So what are they doing?
They are planning on coming out with a server platform that can scale... It's first of all, 48-core processor. 48-core processor.
Okay.
A platform that can scale up to 768-way multiprocessing system with up to 768 gigabytes of memory.
Now, also noted about this 48-core processor,
it's the
size of a kitchen desk or a kitchen table, and it requires 3 fire engine trucks with a constant supply of cold water as its coolant. And
yeah, 48 independent processing cores on a single chip, and it plans to introduce this technology next year.
Interesting.
Systems based
single chip.
On the
How
technology
big is the chip, though?
Year.
Seriously. Does it have any specs, or is it just a schematic right now?
Well, if they're planning on doing it next year...
Oh, they're planning on doing it, so it's not actually accomplished
the
yet.
The Vega 2... I guess what they do now is the Vega 2 processor... Well, the Vega processor...
Okay.
Well, it now sells a 24-core Vega processor, so they're planning on doing the Vega 2.
Which is double that.
Yes.
Okay.
Manufactured 139. Yeah, it doesn't say actual size. I'd be interested to see a picture of this because this.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, how big is this thing gonna be? What are they actually gonna use to keep this thing running without frying up?
Well, it also depends on its size. Because, like, if it's all, like, small, like, literally the size of, like, a 939 socket, then they'll need some, a hefty source of coolant. But if it's, like, a specific thing that, like, it's, like, an entire, like, mainboard-sized chip, then it may not need as much more coolant than, like, a 12-inch fan. Or a 3. Or 4.
Well, maybe they're working with IBM and a couple of two universities, which have made assembled a single carbon nanotube. Nanotube. The first computer circuit to be built on a single molecule.
On a molecule?
Yes.
How's this work?
It was assembled on a single carbon nanotube, a standard component of any nanotechnologist toolkit. The circuit is less than a fifth of the width of a human hair, and it can only be seen through an electron microscope.
Well, because it is a molecule.
Yes. The researchers from IBM and 2 U.S. universities in Florida and New York told the journal Science that the work could lead to faster computer chips. Smaller and faster. They pretty much show a human hair in a
and the size of the circuit.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Okay.
And maybe they're working on them with that 48-core processor there. The finished circuit is just 18 micrometers long and sits across a tube, which is substantially narrower. Circuit is not designed to be used in a computer chip. Instead, it is a proof of principle.
Yeah.
That allowed the research team to test the switch and speed of its design.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's still kind of cool.
Yeah. Even
oh, it's a ring oscillator. That they made. Okay. Still, that's pretty cool.
Even said the researchers showed that it could achieve a speed of 50 megahertz, hundreds of times slower than the gigahertz processor itself. Even so, the researchers say the circuit is 100,000 times faster than any previously recorded for a device made with a carbon nanotube.
Okay.
Well, that's appears to be a large step for carbon nanotube technology.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because, it seems speeds have hit their limit now. And I mean, because it used to be like, okay, you could get a 2 gigahertz processor, but you have like a 400 megahertz system. Or, well, what? Yeah, 2 gigahertz processor, but you have a 400 megahertz system bus. The system bus seems to be growing, but like the chip speed seems to be, it's growing as well, but as predicted, it seems to be, it's more about like the dual core or the bit width instead of anything else, so. Pretty interesting. But let me tell you, the amount of plugins that you could run on that new box I have, makes mixing music very sweet, very easy. Yay. Anyway.
that was fun to shop for.
Yeah.
And put together and install Gentoo on.
Yeah.
Even though that really isn't my preferred, wouldn't have been my preferred choice.
It's not my preference, but it's 64-bit, and it seems to be the best for 64-bit. Gentoo is probably the best for, like, the less, like, if it's not, I prefer other for x86, I prefer Gentoo for everything else. Because it's got Gentoo's got everything. So it's not like you have to worry about, like, what packages it has or doesn't have. I mean, it just has how to build a package anyway. Anyway, yes, I'm sure there's more news, such as something about what we are using or we're using to connect DEMA. The blurring names, DMAT.
Dollar sign, yes.
Yeah, dollar sign. Skype. You hear anything about this Skype Kazaa thing? They were named in a Dreamcast lawsuit.
Oh yeah, they be going to court. I was looking through this earlier, and before we actually do some more talks about it, in my opinion, I see a huge trend coming on due to
The stupid phone
BlackBerry RIM. Yeah. RIM or is it RMI? I think it's RIM. Yeah, RIM lawsuit that went on. Just picture that.
You mean pretty much lawsuits based on just underlying technologies that were patented previously?
Yes.
So Streamcast says Skype and Kazaa are using technologies that they have a patent on or some bullshit. Mm-hmm. Do they indeed have a patent on it, or is it just that they're claiming it's their technology and they don't want them using it?
It claims that it owns the technology underlying. In a very bad first sentence, the suit filed in U.S. District Court in the Central District of California claims that Streamcast owns the technology underlying internet call-in provider Skype software. I think that's a bad sentence. I don't know.
It just wasn't put together very readably, but it seems correct.
Okay. They also named in the suit as defendants were the founders of Skype, Nicholas Zennstrom and Yannis Friis, if that's how you pronounce it, who are also the developers behind Kazaa file swapping software. So Kazaa is named in this as well. So Streamcast and Kazaa have argued in the past over software licensing stuff.
Okay.
So I guess they just decided to bring all their eggs into one basket, I guess.
That's interesting. That's going to be one of those big things now. It takes the place of the whole BlackBerry thing.
It has a name. Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. Okay. RICO. Yeah, they filed the suit alleging RICO and other claims. Which, Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organization Act. While the full complaint has not been made available on the court's website, Skype and Kazaa are respectively named first and fourth. So Skype is number one on their list, as defendants in the case indicating they have a significant role in this suit. This seems like this is just starting, and we'll be getting, I think we'll, this will probably drag on a bit, and we'll be hearing a lot about this in the future.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting, something that's starting here.
That's why friggin' software patents and all that is bullshit anyway.
People, you write it for people to use. Why are you gonna...
Oh, no, mathematicians can't patent algorithms. Why can you patent, I mean, hey, well, I'm gonna patent 1 plus 1.
Damn right.
What was I saying in the last show? Gotta patent the copy-paste buffer.
Yeah,
that'd be... That's the copy buffer.
You said it. Now someone else knows.
They all know. It was in another episode.
Was it the show or was it at something else?
Oh, I'm sure I said it during the show at least once. But yeah, that's... Maybe somebody else should patent it and donate it to Free Software Foundation or just make money off it for a while. Why not?
Don't forget us who gave you the idea.
Yes. If you make some money... We could always use some more. Anyway, there was a new jet engine recently tested.
Really? I like stuff that... What's up about it?
It's over Mach 7.
Really? I didn't know they had a Mach 7.
Well, the jets have reached Mach 10.
Mm-hmm.
But,
What makes this so special, then?
This is the British designed, like, scramjet engine, is what it is. I know it's, I was checking this out, it's different in the way that it actually works, slightly. But this, I don't know if this is like a...
Well, 9,000 kilometers an hour?
Yeah, it's...
We could see the experiment in detail.
Watch it.
Oh, it's a video?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do it later. Scramjet engine. Subsonic jet engine. So it looks like the fuel injectors are in a different spot.
Okay.
The hot exhaust... Oh, no, it looks the same. The subsonic airflow is in the scramjet engine is compressed as opposed to... Well... seems it's compressed a lot more. It seems like a lot more compact of an engine.
It's in the way it's the intake that's different. That's the huge thing because it compresses the air and then puts it back out to like the same.
Whereas in the subsonic, it's smaller, it gets compressed, but it seems like this compresses it a lot.
Yeah.
A lot, and then it releases it instead of just compressing it and staying like that.
Right. So it might be in the release somewhere.
But then again, we're not rocket scientists, so we can't really give you a...
No. But I was reading a different article than the one that you linked here.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, they shoot it up using, like, a conventional, like, everyday rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the way back down is when all the air intake stuff, and it's actually able to kick in and be useful for it. So once it reaches that specific speed, the air intake gets like
the scramjets,
crazy and
the scramjet,
speeds it up.
The scramjets do not begin to work until they reach 5 times the speed of sound.
Right.
At this speed, the air passing through the engine is compressed and hot enough for ignition to occur. Rapid expansion of the exhaust gases creates the forward thrust, making sure the flight happens correctly is incredibly difficult, though. That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
It's a different, looks like an extreme, a very different approach to an engine that we haven't seen.
Very interesting.
What do you think?
Oh, you're looking at the...
No.
Oh, the flag.
Yes. Like it?
So far.
I think the one part in the up is a little too detailed, but...
Yeah, well, I'll play with it as well later.
I'm sorry, I've been wanting to do this for a while. Okay, we have something else about a jet in here. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it's not a jet. It's a rocket failure.
A rocket?
A SpaceX rocket. It failed because of fire. A fire fed by a fuel leak caused the failure of a commercial rocket seconds into its maiden launch. SpaceX, I don't know who they are. SpaceX's Falcon 1 rocket was lost during liftoff from an island in the something Kwajalein Atoll in the Pacific Ocean. It was carrying a U.S. Army, U.S. Air. Someone get married. U.S. Air Force
Some
Academy.
Some video game character.
Wedding time. Okay, is this like The Sims or something?
I have no idea. Sounds like a Super NES. Yeah, it is.
Libble Rabble? I don't know.
Right. I don't know. That game finished.
Okay. It was carrying a U.S. Air Force Academy research satellite on board. The vision of Elon Musk, co-founder, blah, 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 of the electronic payment system PayPal. Interesting.
Huh?
The vision of Elon Musk, a co-founder of the electronic payment system PayPal, the Falcon was designed to cut the cost of current satellite launches. So the guy who made PayPal is also a rocket scientist. That's kind of cool.
And he can't fix PayPal?
The unexplained fuel leak occurred 25 seconds into the launch near the top of the main engine of the rocket's first stage. Falcon was executing perfectly on all fronts, obviously not, until fire impaired the first stage pneumatic system. Fire cut helium. That would have been an awesome explosion to see. And when pressure fell, a safety function within the valves forced them to close, shut down. Aw, it didn't blow up.
Aw.
They shut down the main engine 29 seconds into the flight. Oh, that's not as exciting as I was hoping it would be.
That the fire would reach the main engine?
Yeah. I want it to blow up. Yeah. It was carrying a Falcon Sat 2. It was already delayed. But there was concern because of concerns ranging from problems with the rocket to limitations on the supply of oxygen, liquid oxygen. But it was sent to carry a satellite program intended to measure plasma that can interfere with communications in space.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That disappointed me. I wanted explosions.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Did we mention Wikipedia? There was a study on them recently.
No wiki.
Well, there was a study on them recently, finding it to be fatally flawed.
How so?
Well, by the fact that it's edited by everybody who can connect to it.
Ah, so what we've already talked about.
Pretty much.
We should sue them for taking our idea.
Why?
We have it on software. I don't know. on the show.
We have it on the... So damn, we weren't damn, the first either.
Damn.
I mean, Wikipedia, of course it's inaccurate when you have, like, other people posting one thing and other people change it to try to correct it. I mean, Wikipedia is never going to be perfect. It's always going to be a work in progress because somebody's going to put up, hey, I think this is interesting and this is what it looks like to me. And somebody else is going to fix it. This is what this is. It does this, this, and this.
No, this person is wrong. Yeah.
Well, no, they won't mention the person is wrong. What Wikipedia is, it's like, it's something's on there, and if it's wrong, you correct it. And it makes it more and more accurate. But, I mean, it's always going to be a work in progress. It's never going to be perfect, because people don't get paid to do the research to put this thing together. Of course, some people know... Oh, whole lot of stuff about certain topics, and those may be more accurate than others. So it's just by nature inaccurate, and it didn't need a study done to figure that out.
That was a waste of money.
In my opinion.
Yeah, that was a waste of money.
Was there money, like, put towards this study?
Studies always need money.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Stuff happened.
What happened?
Yeah.
You're still working on the thing?
Yeah.
Anyhow. There's more news still, I hope.
Yes, there is.
Okay. Didn't get to some.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm very preoccupied with this.
I noticed.
Bloggers, we did. Nano, we did. Sadly, we did the Dell thing. We did a Skypey thing. Okay, let's go to this one.
This one is?
New internet telephony players emerge. Telephony, telephony, all them jazz.
Telephony is right.
Yeah. Internet market is getting more crowded, they say, as two more companies launched their services today, yesterday for you listeners who listened to it live. Well, streamed. Internet, we all know the internet guys, Lycos. Well, not really. Not really, no. Not anymore. Maybe everyone knew him in like 98. They began offering their own Lycos phone servers, and Zsa Zsa, a startup with backing from Sequoia Capital, a major Silicon Valley venture capital firm, launched its voice over IP service in the U.S. after several months of offering it in Europe. The two newcomers are entering an increasingly crowded market with players such as eBay, Skype, Time Warner's AOL, Google does VoIP.
I don't know.
Microsoft, Yahoo, and Earthlink already fighting for a piece of the market. But Lycos and Zsa are betting that consumers will value how they've differentiated themselves from the pack. How did they do that? This is what Lycos says. Its biggest differentiator is its multimedia offering. In addition to free PC-to-PC call and instant message chatting and video chatting, Lycos Phone offers video on demand and an MP3 player.
Okay.
Globe 7, which is partnering with Lycos, provides access to video content from Reuters and Bloomberg, as well as movie trailers and sports highlights. They're also trying to make themselves different by undercutting this competition, like other companies offering the PC-based VoIP service. Lycos charges for calls made from PC to regular telephone lines or mobile phones. As a promotion, it's offering 100 free minutes of PC to landline or PC to mobile phone calling. Also, it's charging less than 1 cent for PC to phone calls made within the continental U.S. The Skype out service costs about 2 cents per minute, and Yahoo Messenger with voice charges 1 cent and 2 cents per minute. Between 1 cent and 2 cents. Lycos is also offering features for free, which Skype and Yahoo charge, including U.S. phone numbers, fax service, and transmission of voicemail messages to email. Lycos also allows users to receive calls from traditional landline phones and mobile phones for free, while Yahoo, for example, charges $2.99 a buck, or $30 a year for that. That's kind of... they're making shit cheaper and or free. Let's see how long that lasts.
Okay.
This is actually the first I've heard of it today, so I haven't really heard a lot about it.
Right.
So I don't... well, they say they just did it today,
yeah,
so
right.
I wonder if they're going to start a big campaign against it, because, I mean, it's nice how they're offering all these features, which are... they're offering more features for other than everyone else is, but if no one knows about it, you can offer all the features you want. It's not going to get you anywhere.
That's true. Because they might just be buying them for the phone, and nobody knows the features, but... and they could have the thing and not even know the features exist, so...
and then there's Zsa Zsa. Their thing is simplicity. Unlike all other companies which require users to download software, the Zsa Zsa, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, service doesn't require software download or additional equipment, such as headphones. Instead, subscribers use their existing phones. The way it works is that users enter their own phone number and the one they're calling on the Zsa website. The Zsa server then calls the number of the phone of the person initiating the call. After the caller picks up, it calls the number of the other phone.
That's creative.
Once that person answers, an internet connection is established between the two callers, and the conversation, which has been converted into IP packets, travels over the internet.
So it basically, the website pretty much terminates both the calls on both ends. That's quite interesting, but you also must have an existing phone line for this.
Well, I wonder if this involves...
That's like to get around long distance.
Can you get, no phone service but have a line? No, then you wouldn't have a phone number. If you just kept a landline for 911,
you could have a
phone number.
You could have a phone that only does incoming.
I wonder how cheap that... Okay, well, there for U.S. domestic calls costs about 2.2 cents a minute. International calls vary. For U.S. to Austria, it costs 2.6 cents, between 2.6 and 3.2 cents per minute. I don't understand this between thing. Shouldn't it be one set from country to one country to another country?
Well,
or maybe
the thing
East Coast compared to West Coast?
The thing is, it's in certain locations, it's harder to terminate calls, I would imagine. So, I mean... Yeah, it just seems like if the VoIP provider may have to like buy its own minutes from some VoIP termination point or something. So whoever they're calling, if they're in that country and they have a high rate on whatever the per minute, I don't know an example rate to give, but say it's like 6 cents a minute. The VoIP provider would sell it for like 7 cents a minute to try to make a profit. So,
well, I think that's kind of cool that more people are coming into the whole swing of things.
Yeah,
and not just doing the same old, hoping to get people to actually trying different things.
Anyway, here's something interesting. There's the city manager of Tuttle, Oklahoma, who last week threatened to call the FBI to stop Linux maker CentOS from helping him configure a web server, has presented the register with a massive request. Taylor wants the register to shut down the internet.
What? Wait. First of all, someone's trying to help him set up a server, you said?
I don't know what this is all about. I just saw this like 2 seconds ago, man.
Can you link this to me?
Oh, I most certainly will. There you go. It's on the thing.
Cause I want to see this. Let's see this here.
Anyway, it says here, for those of you not up to speed with this popular story, here's a brief recap. Taylor went to Tuttle's city website hoping to make some changes. Upon arriving at the site, he discovered the boilerplate Apache web server configuration page and mistook this for a possible hack attempt on Tuttle. Instead of contacting a server administrator about the problem, Taylor initiated a triade with CentOS support staffer in which he repeatedly threatened to have the FBI investigate the Linux maker for attacking Tuttle's municipal website. Oh, that's funny. Eventually, CentOS showed Taylor that it had nothing to do with the website other than providing the operating system software for the web server. The fury of Tuttle's emails made plenty of you laugh as our story was... This is because this was written by Register. Made plenty of people laugh as the Register story was picked up by Slashdot, Dig, and others. It would seem that we made too many of you laugh. Taylor, who once proclaimed to the CentOS staff, "I have no fear of the media. In fact, I will welcome this publicity." He asked us to put a halt to the publicity. He declined to respond to this reporter's request for comment, but did write to a member of the marketing team. I do not follow instructions that show up on a website I am not familiar with appears on my computer, and I do not think anyone with experience would do so either. Once the CentOS site appeared on 4 computers at one site, I contacted our web service provider. The web service provider did not know what could cause the problem and had never heard of CentOS. Well, whatever. I then contacted the internet provider's local office and was told that they did nothing to cause the problem. I checked the building server and found nothing relating to CentOS on the server. I was then left with only the webpage and email address to contact. I asked for the strange website to be removed because it blocked my city website and could not post public information. I only got help after threatening to contact the FBI. Well, geez, wherever you're having your website hosted, maybe you're running CentOS. I don't know. And then it says, now I am being flooded with emails from CentOS users that, after knowing the answer, say the problem was simple. I think this is unjustified and would like for this to stop. Your website should provide useful information and be a credit to the IT world. I do not believe it should be used to incite the users. Your attention to this matter is greatly appreciated.
I don't think it's meant to be inciting the users. The users are probably telling them how they could have fixed the problem.
But the thing is, it's...
Well, he's being an
right,
idiot, first
of all. The thing is, the people that are sending him emails probably think that he's running a CentOS box or somebody at his city is, when most likely the website's hosted elsewhere.
I like that next... I just noticed the next line. It should be noted that Taylor failed to thank many of you for improving Tuttle's website.
Oh, no. But, oh, man, that's just...
Oh, God.
It doesn't sound like a large city, so I'm assuming that they outsourced the website to an outside hosting company.
Because it's funny, because of the emails of the people, he's corrected grammatical errors. But there's still misspellings.
Oh, wow.
It's, oh God, he can't take constructive criticism.
He just doesn't seem to know what's going on, and he's just trying to think he does. I don't know. Whatever. That's just kind of very funny.
Now they have links to all different tunnel related stuff.
So what he seems to be trying to do is, since he got slashdotted and people like on those places slashdot and dig and whatnot, they know to look around. They find stuff like email addresses and whatnot. So they found that guy's email address and were trying to help him out. They're like, hey, we could do this. But now since there's so many people that check those websites, he's getting like hundreds of emails a day and he's thinking it's spam or something and he wants it to stop. And he's telling the people who originally printed the article to like stop the internet from doing this. Though it's the one website doesn't control who links to them or who had offsprings of those articles, dude. It's...
You want to know he
the
probably
internet.
Did? He probably followed instructions from a website he didn't recognize, and his docs were dropped somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, why do you think people in the hacking community like to use handles? I could use my real name if I wanted to, but no, this nothing froze. That was the music.
Where's the blue screen?
Yeah, really. Yeah, we could use real names if we wanted to, but we don't want to. We don't want people looking us up. We're not the type on MySpace. Some of us.
My MySpace site is completely separated from the radio show.
Ah, okay. And wow, we're getting very lucky with this video game music today.
What is this one? Thunder. Oh, from Zelda. So, at least it's a respectable game.
Yeah. We'll change to that now, to something else.
Vixen 357.
I don't know.
Never heard of it. Still looking at the scramjet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We have more news, or...?
Maybe. Oh, there's, yeah. Like, two more... There's a couple more things. I don't know if this is the IBM Unearths Anti-Worm Tools...
Anti-worm tools. What are anti-worm tools?
The IBM introduced
like
a new...
spyware type stuff?
I guess. They introduced a new intrusion detection technology dubbed Billy Goat.
IDS? Okay.
that claims to be highly effective in battling worm viruses and other types of malicious IT threats, and in eliminating false security alarms.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. How does it work?
Let's see. Billy Goat offers organizations improved threat detection capabilities by duping outsiders into believing that it is an unprotected IT asset worth targeting, and then shutting down any subsequent attacks.
Okay.
First invented by the company's research group to help European internet service providers deal with malicious programs being propagated by exploited computers on their networks, Billy Goat will now be offered as a package of software and consulting offered by the firm's IBM Global Services Unit. The tool hides, according to the IBM, the tool hides itself to appear on a corporate network as a collection of servers that appear to be attractive candidates for an outside attack. They didn't really offer many details about how it works. The company was just noted that it masquerading technology does not communicate with any legitimate computers on the customer's network. It was said that it created such that criminals would randomly attack servers who randomly attack servers are likely to find it and fall for the ploy.
Okay. That's
so interesting. It won't attack to your actual... It's not linked to your actual servers? I don't know. To your actual network?
Well, it says it uses masquerading.
Yeah.
So it
masquerading,
puts,
yeah.
Yeah, so it pretty much makes, like... It's more or less an extra layer... I'm not sure. I'm doing something else as I'm trying to... But from what I was getting out of that, it seems that...
It creates a virtual environment for worms.
More or less. Like, say port 80 is open.
Mm-hmm.
It will show that your port 80 is open, but it won't be the actual port. Well, I'm not sure. Actually, no.
Well, until we find out details.
I was half listening, half editing something else. So...
Until we find out more details.
My apologies for sounding like a complete noob.
It's okay. I do it all the time.
Yeah, but you just read directly from the article like I do most of the time and make it sound like you know.
Unless I know about it. I do. Unless I do work in advance. Which doesn't happen.
That rarely happens.
I'm sorry.
For any of us, it really rarely happens. Anyhow, we got about 4 minutes left.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yep.
100% quality. No, not our show. The picture. Let's see.
You have anything to add?
There's a couple Bluetooth stuff that's out now, like products. I don't know. It's useless for me because I don't have a PSP, but they make a it connects into the headphone jack on your PSP, and it makes it a Bluetooth. I can't talk today. Stereo transmitter.
Okay.
Which I guess, in my opinion, I always thought Bluetooth was lacking in the stereo audio aspect of it.
Well, it might still be. It might just be half-assed.
Well, it seems like the headsets you could get with it, headphones you can get for it, have stuff that they have microphones attached to it. They still have a cable connecting the ones to each other, but they seem to have, it's an ear clip that has internet online message support, stereo wireless transmission, as well as mobile hands-free, music playing remote control, connection switching playback, phone, I don't know. A multi-function roller, all different kind of things, and a microphone. So I mean, it's something cool. I mean, Blue Take. I don't know. I'm not a PSP person, but this seems the transmitter seems to be made specifically to fit like in the like the design and the curves of the PSP, and then the headsets just seem like cool Bluetooth stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's about all I got to say.
Yes, and well, What do you have any shouts real quick?
Since we weren't here last week, shouts to all the people who we hung with.
And
the other Saturday.
Yeah. Anyway, that concludes this week's edition of BassNet Radio. We hope you have enjoyed the show. If you have any questions, comments, or flames, send an email to bassnet@bassnetradio.net. If you are listening to this on DDP Hack Radio or on Rant Radio, up next is Binary Revolution Radio. Have a good week.
Peace.